ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Going to look at a variety of different topics today. Jared, do you know who Chelsea Wolfe or Laurel Hubbard are?
No clue.
I'll tell you who they are later. Chelsea Wolfe might make some of you mad.
Should I know?
Maybe, maybe not. Olympic athletes.
I won't know.
We'll tell you what they did, what they're doing, who they are, who they think they are, who they really are.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty interesting. College football playoff committee yesterday basically confirmed the 12-team model.
Yep.
The 12-team model is going to be what they're pursuing. So now it's just a matter of, okay, figuring out the details, ironing out what the from the initial proposal, what could change, what do you hope changes, and then kind of give me your layout from the start of the season till the end. Like, how do you envision it? When do you envision these games being played?
Good question.
So we'll talk about that. Crazy ending to that basketball game last night in Phoenix between the Suns and the Clippers.
Suns in four.
And then also, what's on everybody's mind, the lottery results from last night. We'll get into those, what it means moving forward for the Oklahoma City Thunder. How are you, Jared?
I'm good.
Are you sure?
I'm fine. I'm good.
Are you positive?
Yeah. Did our conversation last night not indicate that I'm okay?
Well, some aren't. Some that we know, some that we don't know. I'm sure all you're going to hear all day long is some sort of variety of this right here.
Number six goes to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world.
Should feel fine.
I do feel fine. You know why?
It's a top 10 pick.
Well, and it's just one piece of the puzzle.
Sure it is.
Now listen, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat what happened. It was not a good night for Oklahoma City as far as the possibilities that were out there. It's not. The sixth pick means you fell two spots out of the top five, which most of the prognosticators will tell you that this is a five-person draft. Those are all true. But at the same time, you have 6, 16, and 18 now. You know what you have. So if there is one person that you're targeting, do you trade up? Can you trade up? You know, that was one of the things that Woj said even before the picks were announced, that he had heard already. You know, Houston, Cleveland were a couple of teams that were – really shopping. We're going to be shopping, especially if they got, you know, in that top five, their picks to rebuild faster. Now, the problem for Oklahoma City is that means players and not picks. So
right.
Is Kemba Walker a good enough piece to be able to entice one of those teams to make that move? Or do you try to take three bites at the apple with three top 18 picks in the first round and see what you get? But I mean, listen, the truth of it is this, and I went back 6 years, and I guarantee you I can go back more than that if I want to. I just didn't. I stopped because I think
– like your point's going to be
made. I think
made.
My point would be made, yeah. on these with these picks. All I did was go from six down in the last six drafts. And is it going to be easy? No. But that's why you have – Sam Presti in that spot to make these picks, which he's shown plenty of success inside the top five, top 10. Well, now he's got to continue to do it. And the point of it is you can get players outside of that top five. You just have to make the right pick.
Right.
So last year, and it's a little bit harder to judge these guys because they haven't had much time in the league, but I think it's fairly clear Tyrese Halliburton from Iowa State can play. Isaiah Stewart with the Pistons was a revelation. Tyrese Maxey with the Sixers. Year before, you just saw a guy last night on the floor, Cameron Johnson for Phoenix. He's pretty good. Made a difference in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. Tyler Hero last year was phenomenal. And then Matisse Thybulle from Philly. He's been a fantastic player so far. Year before that, you got Colin Sexton. Another guy you saw out there tonight, last night, Mikal Bridges. SGA. Anybody like him? Anybody around here like SGA? Is he okay? He wasn't a top five pick. Michael Porter Jr. also with the Nuggets. Year before that, Lauri Markkanen from the Bulls, who's proven to be a really valuable piece. He's in a lot of the talks with Ben Simmons if Chicago would be able to get him. I think Donovan Mitchell's a decent player. Bam Adebayo. Another guy we're going to see tonight, John Collins. Jared Allen. Year before that, there's a few. Here's a few decent ones. Buddy Hield. Jamal Murray, Domantas Sabonis, Caris LeVert, Pascal Siakam, DeJounte Murray. Anybody know any of those guys? And Miles Turner. Here's one. He's okay. Devin Booker.
Oh, yeah.
Is he okay?
Is he okay?
Is he an okay player?
After the shot to his face last night?
Montrezl Harrell. The point is, and I know that the counterpoint is, well, there's not very many of them. That's true. It's definitely true. I'm not saying it's going to be just a simple process of, oh, pick the right. But if you pick the right guy, they're there.
Right.
And everyone acts like, oh, it just you fall off the cliff after five and you don't have any chance. You might as well not even have those picks. There are picks after the top five that work out every single year. And now it is Sam Presti's job to figure out who those guys are at 6, 16, or 18, or figure out a way to move up into the top five. But you know what else you could do that I didn't? But you could also look at the top five in all these drafts, and you're going to have two, maybe three of them in each draft that you go, who?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's that guy? I don't remember him. You don't remember him because he's not even playing in the league anymore. It's an inexact science, and, you know, we go on and on about, you know, I can't believe they won that game against the Clippers. Well, with the coin flip, you know what happened with that coin flip win? Cost just three spots.
Yeah.
Because Cleveland's spot moved up to three, which would have been where the Thunder were if they had lost it.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's a bunch of the what-ifs and da-da-da.
Yeah, here we go. Move to another state. This is such ridiculousness. They're not moving. Here we go.
Is that on the text line?
Yes. A crappy draft pick. Is it a draft pick that everybody wanted? No, but the sixth pick isn't a crappy pick. I'm going to have a hard time not cussing on the air today if this continues.
That thought that they're going to move.
They're moving because they got three first-round picks this year. That's where we're at.
Come on. That's not why teams move.
And listen,
his lack of success on the court
and lack of participation in the stands, and say all you want about this year,
right?
And if you're wanting to point at this year as your basis for, hey, the Thunder, nobody cares about the Thunder anymore; they're moving. But that's you know what I can do? I can point at, you know what? But 2012, the stands were full; they're not moving,
right?
If you want to just pick out one year. And honestly, I think it was the perfect storm for Oklahoma City in this way. Everyone knew going into the season they weren't going to try to win. Everyone knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
The front office knew it when they said, you know what, we're not going to open up the stands the rest of the season.
But so did the fans.
Right.
And it was the perfect time to not have people there. And, you know, out of sight, out of mind, I get it. But please. Don't act like – I mean, what was the conversation 50 games in? Oh, my gosh, we're too good.
Right.
As a fan, we're too good. We're winning too many games. We can't even tank right. Da, da, da. Then you lose 23 of 25, and you get yourself into the position they were last night. My point is this. You know what people like to watch? A team that's decent, a team that can win. You know what Oklahoma City has right now? A team that's decent. Now, yes. is it done with the remodel, the rebuild? No. Absolutely not.
And shouldn't that excite fans?
You
that
would think
we're
so.
Not done with it. It's not done.
It really just started.
It just started.
It's about to start in this draft.
If the team wanted to be competitive this past season, I think they could have been, but there are times.
They were.
They were, exactly. But now shut down Horford. Oh, SGA tweaks his ankle, his knee. What was it, his ankle?
Plantar fasciitis.
Okay, his foot. Shut him down. That's tanking. You find every opportunity to shut down players, they did it. And then he suddenly got better. Especially towards the end of the year, especially in that Clippers game in down the stretch. Leave the city? You kidding me?
They suck. I mean, whatever, man. I mean, seriously, whatever. You don't. That was the whole idea. The whole idea this season was so that they would be bad. That was the whole point of this season, was to be bad and get as high up in the draft lottery. But here's the problem. Lottery doesn't guarantee you anything. Right. Orlando, you think, is Orlando moving because they fell from 3 to 7?
How come Sacramento stayed the entire time?
Are they
time
moving?
When they're always in the top 10.
Are they moving? Are they out of here? I mean, Orlando's—they fell from 3 to 7. Even a worse fall than Oklahoma City. Are they moving out of town? No.
No.
But anyhow, you know that's. There's going to be frustration, and that's fine from fans. But you know what else that shows? If there's a lot of frustration, people still care.
Yeah, that's true.
People still care about what's going on with the Thunder, even though they try to act like they don't. They do.
How much you want to bet opening night the stands will be packed? Regardless of what
regardless of what
the team looks like.
Of course they will.
Who's on the team, who's not on the team.
And here's another thing. That Oklahoma City got away with last year not having fans there because of the pandemic, and they were terrible,
right,
and trying to be terrible.
Right.
Especially at the end of the year. You know what they might even get lucky with this year? Fans wanting and really wanting to get back, even if they're not the greatest.
That's what I thought last
night. The attendance will still show well, and then as they get better. And you know what? We'll see if it's true or not, but a lot of people – as the first iteration of the Thunder got going, and you know what they got tired of? The prima donna, even when Durant was still here, God, these guys, they started out like a college team, and now, man, pro basketball has arrived with attitudes and that kind of thing. Well, guess what? Going back to the college atmosphere with young guys trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I guess I would just... The last thing I would say is this. Maybe you don't have to have a pick that has to be a star because you already got one. I would love to know what people thought about SGA if he wasn't in a Thunder uniform with the season he had last year. I'm talking about the people around here.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at someone from afar and going, man, I wish that was our guy. But I think you're already conditioned of, oh, he wasn't a high enough pick, so he can't be great. We got to have somebody better than him, which that might be true, but there's no way to know that. And I think the one underestimation from a lot of people is just how good he is. He was much better than anybody thought this year. That's why they had to shut them all down.
Right. I'm interested because my memory is horrible. I'm going to Google it up.
Now, the sixth pick, specifically the sixth pick, hasn't been where you want to be.
Well, that's not where I was going to go.
You know the last sixth pick to make an NBA All-Star game?
I couldn't. No.
2012, Dame Lillard. Shout out Royce Young. He posted that last night. Like, oh, Thunder fans, you're already upset. Don't look at the history of the sixth pick. It hasn't been that great, but... A lot of them around it have been. Buddy Hield was the sixth pick. He's been okay.
Yeah.
Would you take Buddy Hield on this team?
Oh, absolutely.
A player of that caliber?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's look at Thunder picks outside of what everyone's determining. If it's after 5, then it's horrible, right? It's not going to be worth a dang.
That's right.
Nick Collison. Okay. Let's go down the list here.
Listen, there was two of them out there last night that played pretty well.
See, I knew that was going to come up.
Cameron Payne? Now, listen, did he do it in a Thunder uniform? No. It partly is at the situation in time where the Thunder drafted Cameron Payne. They needed a guy that was ready right then. He was drafted in 2015. What was coming next? The pivotal season of Durant. And sometimes those draft picks, they're not quite ready to fit into a championship team. But that doesn't mean they're done. He had 29 last night in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
What about Reggie?
Reggie, he's number 24
Reggie
pick.
Was the 24th pick.
Serge Ibaka was the 24th
Serge.
Pick. Steven Adams was the 12th pick.
He was the 12th pick. And listen,
you mentioned his campaign at 14.
I mentioned his name earlier. You're not going to find him on a list of the Thunder draft picks because they're not the ones that actually made the pick, but they were the ones that picked this guy to make a trade, and that was Domantas Sabonis.
Right.
I mean, they essentially drafted him because the trade was in place. We want this guy. You pick him for us, and then we trade him. That's just the way the mechanics of the league work. But that's who they wanted. That's who they wanted to pick. I mean, that's their pick. Now, there have been misses. There was Mitch McGarry, Perry Jones. Hustis. I mean, he was very, very polarizing. But you know who was a good pick for the point in the draft where they got him?
Who's
Andre
that?
Robertson.
Yes. What about Eric Bledsoe? You like him?
Yeah, but see, they didn't pick. It's going to show. That's what I'm saying about Sabonis.
Yeah.
They didn't actually. They picked him, but it wasn't for them.
Right.
All right. Question: what's the chance that they actually make the sixth pick and don't trade?
That's what I was. Yeah. And if how much do you want to give up? Is say Houston is seriously shopping their number two pick? Would Presti be willing to? It would be really telling if he pulls the trigger on that and we see how much he gives up to get that number two. Because I think Detroit's pretty solid at number one.
Oh, yeah, they're going to take Cade Cunningham and move on.
Yeah, but you just mentioned Houston. Think, well, they'll shop it around. It would be really telling of Presti. Like, this is – he knew he wants this guy, and he can get into the top five, even top two. It's a guaranteed slam dunk kind of a guy.
Yeah, but is there – here's
but
another
is
problem.
Is there a guy like that?
That's what I'm going to say. That's another problem with the overreaction. Is there a guaranteed 8-time NBA All-Star in this draft? No one.
Can we even say Cade Cunningham is a guarantee?
No.
No, we can't. So, I think the overreaction needs to calm down.
Yeah, what? Okay. I mean, it's seriously. Until the draft night is over, this is still a work in progress.
Yes.
Everybody's going crazy. What if those three picks end up being the number one pick and it's Cade Cunningham? Same people on this text line going crazy about how bad it is. Oops, never mind. Hey, can I take that back? You guys think we're more likely to trade to two or three or out of the lottery? I don't see any way in hell they're going to trade out of the lottery on purpose.
No.
I think a trade goes up.
That's the only trade
because of the five-player draft idea. Now, here's one thing that I literally just kind of popped in my head. And I hadn't thought about this yet. But what if Presti thinks there's more than five? Then he's right there
to
take
be.
Whoever it is, and he doesn't care.
Right.
You know, if he thinks, okay, there's seven guys, well, then I get my choice.
Yeah.
When's the next NBA Finals? There was only one the whole time. You know how hard it is to make the NBA Finals? I mean, I'm serious. Look at who has gone through here. Look at who's gone through here. And you made one NBA Finals, and quite honestly, way earlier than anybody thought. I mean, it was crazy. It's whatever. But the point of all this is, until you still cannot make any sort of judgment on how the tanking before you even see who the players are.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's sometimes it takes more than one season. like Jokic, drafted in when?
He was the second rounder in the 40s.
Wait, what year?
A few years ago.
Yeah. Now he's the MVP.
He sucks too.
He was the MVP.
Because he wasn't a top five pick, he doesn't count.
Yeah, so he doesn't count. Come on, people.
Anyway, jump off the ledge if you want. Plenty of you are. That's fine.
I'll have my reapplication ready to go when...
2014 draft.
2014.
41st overall.
Yeah. So he's a bust because it took him this long to win the MVP?
I mean, at this point today, let's just move him out of town.
Apparently. And by the way, if you don't want your Thunder gear anymore, drop it off here at 220 South Pioneer.
No, take it down to Goodwill.
No, I'll take care of it for you.
Jared wants it.
No, I don't want it. I'll give it to Thunder fans who want it. I have plenty of Thunder gear.
So, Thunder fall to 6 in the lottery. They might as well just move out of town. It's sentiment of a few. They don't... Might have to turn off the text line.
I think so. It's just not making a lot of sense today.
It was the perfect year not to have fans because they weren't trying to lose. They were trying to lose this last year. It was the perfect year not to have fans. Now, if they don't have fans come this year, then we'll start yelling about it. All right, so the actual game last night.
Crazy.
What an amazing game it was. With the Suns and the Clippers. Golly, there's so much to unpack just in the last minute of that game with big shots on both sides. You know, Devin Booker made a big one from the elbow. Paul George came right back at him from the elbow. You know, there was that block by Zubac on campaign that led to another Paul George layup. And then the craziness kind of started with Booker having the ball knocked away from him. And then they slow it down to the microsecond on the review and give LA the ball.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the review process and all that, but we'll just kind of keep going chronologically. So Phoenix was down 1 with the ball under 10 seconds left when that play happened. And Beverly knocks it away from him. Goes out of bounds. They slow it down literally like frame by frame, and you see it touch Booker's hand last. And so LA gets the ball. They throw it in. Phoenix fouls Paul George. Paul George had missed both free throws on a trip to the line once all year. One time all year long.
All year.
That he had missed both free throws. You know, he had made both of them like 114 times.
That's crazy.
And he missed them both. Phoenix gets a rebound. You know, everybody knows it's going to be Booker. It's not. And Bridges misses. The ball's tipped out of bounds. I thought it was kind of interesting that of all the replays that happened there in the last minute from calling a phantom foul on Booker when Beverly just flopped down to the ground to that play with Booker and Beverly when the ball was knocked away. And then on what seemed to be even a bigger call, after the shot from Bridges missed and the fight for the rebound, they never even showed the replay. They didn't. Yeah. It was just kind of weird. I think they were more in the, okay, here's the strategy. Because maybe they saw one and it was so obvious that it was off of man that they figure, okay, everybody thinks it's Phoenix's ball. We'll just keep it here. Talking strategy of how the last play should go. You know, it wasn't controversial enough or what have you.
Probably.
Because there was another play where it looked like it went off Zubac's foot, but then they slowed it down, and you could see Ayton touch it twice. Anyhow, I did think it was interesting after all that it wasn't – it didn't happen that way. So then they do award Phoenix the basketball, and this happens.
Crowder looking, throws it alley. Oh! Ayton puts it down! He puts it down! It's over!
And they're trying to say goaltending, but that's a live basketball. He can finish.
I thought Mark Jackson, Mike Breen, and Jeff Van Gundy did an unbelievable job explaining that last part.
Yeah.
Because when Jay Crowder, who first off made an unbelievable pass from baseline, kind of had to throw it up over the backboard to the front of the rim.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was side out. No. It was on baseline.
It's in the corner where it's tough to get it in.
That is a crazy angle.
A great pass. Maybe the best part of the play with a busted up nose and stitches in it. Devin Booker sets an unbelievable screen on Zubac to free Ayton for just enough to where he could elevate when Zubac caught back up with him to grab it and dunk it. And Phoenix ends up winning. They put some more time on the clock, and L.A. wasn't able to get a shot off. But it's so funny because in those situations, you always think to yourself, well, why wouldn't they throw it up at the rim? And they never do. It goes out 40 feet, and somebody just kind of touches it and shoots it as fast as they possibly can. Just a great play design by Monty Williams. Great execution by his team, and now Phoenix is up 2-0. Now, here's where I have a problem. How much of a chance do you think Phoenix has if they call the ball out of bounds on man and inbound it immediately? Meaning they don't stop the game for review, giving them a timeout to set this play up.
It's true.
The review thing.
Such a complex play.
It's just so ridiculous. We saw it and we talked about it ad nauseum after the Texas Tech-Virginia national title game. There was that play where Virginia knocked it out of bounds, just like last night. And then when they slowed it down frame by frame by frame, it nicked like the fingernail of the Texas Tech guy. And it changed the winner. It quite possibly changed the winner of that game.
Yeah.
It could have last night, too. And I don't want to – I honestly don't want to hear anybody say, well, it was off of Booker. Damn it. For 47 minutes of every game, that play happens multiple times, and it's the offense's ball every time.
Right.
Every single time. It's the defense knocked it out of bounds. Nobody cares if it barely – I mean, if it stayed on the guy's hand. It's off – it fires me up because it's so ridiculous to even make that call. It really, really is. It's just ridiculous to act like – that should be Clippers ball because Beverly knocked it out. Anyway, and then the fact that these teams don't have timeouts, it gives them timeouts where they could set up plays. Something has to be done. Maybe you limit it to did he get the shot off or not?
On replay.
On replay, because it just totally breaks the rhythm of that game. Yeah. And it actually, you know, I love to watch Clippers lose, but it really kind of hurt them on that last play that it allowed Phoenix to set it up.
Well, what if it's not even that, you know, them looking at that last play and they got basically that bonus timeout. I mean, can you implement a rule that says, listen, this isn't a timeout. Stay away from your bench. Stay away from
maybe
your coach.
Maybe so, yeah. I mean, that's.
But then you have it where players are going, okay, let's drop a play. Street ball, you know? We can't go to our coach. We can't go to our bench and look at the dry erase board. But let's here. Hold out your palm. You go here. You go here. You go here.
See, and I would be okay with that.
I think I would be too.
I would be okay with that because it's not a structured timeout.
Yeah.
And it's something that they could do on the fly, like call the play. You know, or you know that can happen.
It would change a little bit the dynamics of the game. You'd have, you know. I know there's captains in the NFL. Are there captains on NBA teams? You always get dubbed, you know, oh, well, he's a floor general right there. He's their leader in the locker room.
Right.
But is there a guy where if that was a thing and then they say, okay, look at him. He's the floor general. He's the captain. He's going to draw up the play. He knows what we do in this situation. This is stuff we practice. I think that'd actually be very entertaining for me.
Oh, I think so too because it does – It's you'd have time, but not that amount of time. Or maybe here's one. Maybe you can limit to say 30 seconds or a minute, the review time. That still gives everybody a chance to kind of huddle around. But you know what they were also doing? They really weren't necessarily for that entire time drawing up a play. Because they were also trying to figure out whose ball it was.
Right.
Like the coaches themselves.
They needed to know, And do I need to draw up a defensive play or an offensive play? What do we do here? Who do we foul? All that stuff. Yeah.
But for me, if it's not obvious enough in, say, 30 or 60 seconds, then the call needs to stay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you can't look at it from a couple of different angles one or two times and go, okay, there it is, obvious, boom, change it, then whatever the call on the floor has to stay. But here's the problem. The referees have now become so – you know what they didn't? They didn't even make a call. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You didn't – like on the Beverly foul or the Beverly play where he flopped, and then they go back. They just blew the whistle.
Yeah.
They didn't even have a call to overturn, and they just walked over the monitor. And then they awarded –
the refs got it so easy nowadays.
They awarded a flop with an offensive foul to Booker that they never called.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't even see them pointing on that last play on the rebound. It was tipped out of bounds, and they just started walking to the monitor.
Yeah, it's like,
what's the call?
Yeah, yeah. What's your gut?
They're going to have to make a call in order to either uphold
the call overturned. Or confirmed. Yeah.
And it's just like, golly, I just thought to myself, man, they just come. It's just like they've got it as such a crutch now.
Yeah.
But in on that situation, you'd think they'd have to have a call, and maybe they did. They just didn't, you know, emphatically point one way or the other. But it was a wild finish. There's no doubt about that.
Now the series itself,
2-0,
Phoenix up 2-0. I still feel like the Clippers could pull it out if they can come back home and win a couple.
Well, I mean, they're the only team ever in the history of the playoffs in the same year to come back from 0-2 down. They've done it twice already.
It's true.
Especially
if they get Kawhi back.
Well, but see, I was going to say, if you had to pick which one of those two was coming back.
Oh well,
I think it's Chris Paul and not
Chris
Kawhi.
Chris Paul before Kawhi, yeah.
Right, and so, you know, not only are they down 2-0, they are going back home, but there's a chance that Phoenix could have Chris Paul. They've won two without him, and now that mountain looks a lot higher to climb without Kawhi for an entire series. You know, it's one thing to have him for four games, tied 2-2, and then be able to win back-to-back without him, you know, against the Jazz. It's a whole nother ask to win a whole series without him against Phoenix.
If they go home, Clippers that is, if they can go home and win game three, yeah, I'd be a heavy lean for the Clippers.
Really? Even though they're down 2-1?
Yeah, I would. This has this feeling of, remember the Thunder and 12 getting down 0-2 to the Spurs, coming home. It has a weird feeling like that. I don't know, something about the Clippers for me. I know Phoenix, they just kind of feel like that America's team right now.
Phoenix looks like the best team to me.
They look great, but yeah, we'll see.
I mean, they really do.
I'm sorry, go finish your thought.
No, they really do. They're really good on offense, and they're really good on defense.
How much does Paul George take flack for that loss? I mean, the two free throws
are
glaring, but
it's really, really rough. At the same time, he made some really good plays,
yeah.
You know. But that's just him, right?
When you're the best player on the team right now, you're going to take a lot of heat if you don't win.
That's right. And he, not only his performance last night, but then also – he's got a history of kind of this thing in the playoffs.
I know it.
You know, and no one in their right mind thinks if he was the one not playing and Kawhi was, Kawhi doesn't miss those free throws. You know, and it's just,
yeah.
It seems like he's just kind of one of those guys that, you know, that like I said, that stat, he'd done that one time all year long. All year long. One time did he miss both free throws. And then in the most important two that he shot this year, he missed them both.
And I completely forgot DeMarcus Cousins is on this team until after the game.
Yeah, he came walking out there in the first quarter or so. I'm like, who is that giant guy? Looks like Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
Oh, it is Boogie Cousins.
Totally forgot he was on this team.
You know, I thought it was pretty.
What a punk.
Pretty on brand for Patrick Beverly, because I think he's the one that you're talking about after the shot when you saw Cousins pushing.
Push Booker?
Yeah. Beverly's the one that started all that.
I didn't really. I just saw the
Booker. Beverly talks trash all game long, and Booker does not react to it once. And then at the end of the game, when that happens, and Booker says something, Beverly wants to be a punk and come over and try to start a fight. And that's when the camera saw Cousins kind of in the middle of it after the, you know, those two that went at each other all game long. But
I'm going to study that video now.
It'd be hard to find one. I saw just one last night, and it may have been the next play after Paul George missed where Beverly got into the action. You know, when they put time back on the clock, where Booker finally went over and said something to him, and Beverly wanted to start a fight after controlling the action of the trash talk all game long, and Booker just kind of looking at him. But I don't know. The Clippers are just, you know, they're similar to the Nets as far as, you know, super team and getting stars together. And I can't believe I'm about to say this, but they are so much easier to hate for me than the Nets were. Like, I could appreciate how good the Nets players were. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. KD and, you know, Harden was hurt or whatever. And it probably helped that Kyrie was the one that wasn't playing. Whereas if it would have been, like, Durant out, it would have been a lot easier not to like him. Because it's just those other two.
Yeah.
But it's super easy not to like the Clippers. Super duper easy.
I don't know. I mean,
Beverly's a big part of that.
Oh, of course. With the history and the Thunder and him, but I like Paul George. I don't have a problem. I never had a problem with him here, obviously wearing a Thunder jersey, but you know, it was shocking waking up that morning and seeing that he was traded to the Clippers, but then hearing how all that went down, there's a lot of respect there, and he still has a lot of he showed a lot of respect for the Thunder accommodating him. But you know, you have a problem with Kawhi?
Kawhi's the only one I don't really have. The problem I have with the Clippers and the way that as soon as they got together, it was like they'd already won three titles. You got to win something first.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they were pulling. They were pulling a Miami. They're already having a fan celebration.
Yeah. Not one, not two, not four, not eight.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about one? How about get one? Before we go, you know, crowning him one of the best teams of the century. How about win something first? Yeah. So that's the
that's
knock.
Where you have.
I really don't like Doc Rivers. Never did. He's not there anymore. I get it, but that helps me not like the Clippers because it seems like he is just such a whiner.
Yeah.
In series, it's never his team's fault. It's either the refs or the other team got a break or what. You know, it's just all. You know, it seems like it's hard for him just to say, you know what, they beat us.
Right.
So. They just, you know, I love it. I
think particularly for in this series, it's easy to root for Phoenix because of the story of Chris Paul and just this late in his career, and he's still so effective and still so good. The emergence of Booker last year going into this year, just the emergence of this team, and they kind of have that feeling of, you know, when, you know, I always try to relate it to locally, but they have that feeling of, the Thunder's runs, you know?
Yeah, except for they have an old guy where, you know, Oklahoma City didn't.
No, they didn't.
Early, anyway.
But, I mean, just the buzz in the city.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just stuff, you know, that happens everywhere I know. But they just kind of, you know, at the beginning of the year, sure, everybody had Phoenix as a playoff team based on how they performed in the bubble.
Right.
But in the West, it was Lakers.
It was Lakers, Clippers. Who's going to win?
Clippers and everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a Denver. Maybe a Portland.
Maybe Utah.
Yeah, I guarantee you Phoenix was the 6th, 7th choice for people.
Exactly.
Even though, because
they just
went to the bubble and won. Nobody wanted to be there. It was a weird situation.
Right.
So they won some games.
It's like, oh, well, Booker, he kind of had a coming out party in Orlando. And then they're like, well, they're going to take that next step and they'll be a good team and a playoff team. But nobody expected them to be in the Western Conference Finals.
Nobody.
And that's,
even after the season they had, nobody thought they were going to. Oh, my gosh, they were an underdog to the Lakers.
But that's why I think that it's easy right now to not like the Clippers because they're going up against, again, right now, America's team.
Oh, yeah, I think that helps. I mean, if it was Lakers-Clippers, then it would be like, you know what that would be?
Oh, like, everybody would love the Clippers right now.
It'd be a meteor series.
Yeah, I have another name for it, but yeah, yeah. Yeah, who would watch outside of L.A. County?
I'm glad it's not.
No,
All right, who you like? If you had your choice, this is a good question.
Okay.
You're rooting for Suns, Bucks, or Atlanta?
I root for Suns, Bucks, or Atlanta.
Because we all know nobody's rooting for the Clippers around here.
I know. It's a great question. Suns, but well, it's going to answer, I guess. Well, I can't say Suns because I still feel like Clippers might push this to seven. I still think there's hope for Clippers. Man, I think the biggest underdog out of all those is Atlanta, right? Clearly, right?
Yeah, well, in my mind it is. It's not even close.
And they're a fun story, too, in the East.
One of those things is not like the other, sure. In my mind.
Sure. I'd say Hawks, yeah.
I'm the Suns guy. I like Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I like Chris Paul tons. Always have. I mean, there was times where he'd frustrate you when he was playing for the Clippers against OKC, and he'd do one of his little dirty cheap shots. There's no doubt about it. That would frustrate you. But at the end of the day, he was, you know, the quintessential point guard of this era.
Yeah.
Always was. And he was always kind of the when the Wall Westbrook model of point guard started filtering into the league, where you thought, man, he's just mismatched completely from a physicality standpoint, from an athleticism standpoint. He still was able to really play the game. And I like Booker. And I'll tell you what. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this guy needs to, you know, if you redid that draft of 2018, you'd still take him first with what we've seen from Luka and Trey. But DeAndre Ayton's a lot better than people think. Mm-hmm. And you're starting to realize it with this playoff run. That guy isn't just a, you know, he's kind of a throwback a little bit of an old school big man.
Yeah.
In that, I mean, he's not going to shoot a three. He could kind of stretch it out to the free throw line, but mostly he's more of a little back to the basket, pick and roll, run and dunk on alley-oops, that kind of guy. But he can rebound, he can protect the rim, and he fits great on the team that they have. It's him and a bunch of shooting around him. And he's able to move enough to where you see him not get lost on switches and pick and rolls and that kind of thing. So he's, you know, if you're looking for a big guy, you know, through the draft with OKC, which they may not, you know, depending on what they do, maybe they won't get high enough. But that's the guy. That's kind of a guy you're looking for. And if you can get one that can even stretch it a little bit further out as far as shooting, then you've got even a bigger weapon.
Yeah.
He's the first player with five games of 20 points and shooting 70% from the field in a single postseason since Dwight Howard in 2009. And the game was completely different in 2009.
Uh-huh.
So, that doesn't surprise me that it's been that long since a guy, because, quite frankly, how many times has a big guy had 20 in five games in a playoff run outside of maybe Jokic last year? It's just not, you know what I mean? The, right. The big guy has obviously been taken away. But Phoenix is a great story. On the other side, I mean, Atlanta has Trey. I just, for me, and that story's cool and all that, but man, if you want a competitive NBA Finals, like a really, really good one, I think it's got to be the Bucks and the Suns, or the Clippers if the Clippers come back. That's a huge stage for Atlanta, and they keep on kind of getting there though, right? I mean, I understand, but I just don't see them as an actual threat to win the title. I mean, do you? Like seriously? And maybe they'll prove me wrong.
No, but I didn't see them as a serious threat to even make the Eastern Conference Finals.
I understand.
And here they are, so let's go.
I understand. So maybe, you know, it's a little bit Thunder 2011-ish to me, though.
Yeah.
What are they doing in the Conference Finals? Oh, they're playing they're playing a guy that hadn't really had much playoff success, really. I mean, Dirk. You know, the parallels to me with Dirk and Giannis Milwaukee are pretty interesting for this run. And maybe that's why the Clippers have to win the West so he can vanquish the super team like Dirk did with Miami in that first year.
Yeah.
Anyway, the NBA playoffs have been more fun than I thought.
Well, it's because
I find myself more involved. And I think part of it's because you know who's not there? LeBron.
Exactly.
It's more fun without him.
And Kate.
It's an interesting question about who you're rooting for, and we got a bunch of different answers.
But isn't that what makes
we
these
didn't
playoffs?
Get the Clippers?
No, we did not.
We got Bucks, we got Atlanta, we got Suns.
that's what makes this playoff, like you said, makes it great. Is that, I mean, in a weird way, it's cool that we don't. It's why I root. It's why I like the Super Bowl. You know, because Dallas is never in it, and I can just pick a team and root for them, or just hope for an enjoyable game. Right now, don't have any rooting interest in these four teams left, and they're. But it's still a very interesting couple of series. It's a very interesting NBA playoffs to me. There's not one dominant team where we know, well, eventually they're going to rise to the top and win the whole dang thing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that's so good for the game.
And you know what? The ratings have actually been pretty good so far. I wonder, though, how that works at the end without the star power.
Oh, there'll be some spin on it that says that the stars need to be there because the ratings hurt. Well, you're going to get that spin. You are.
Look at through ESPN's mock draft. You know who they have.
But, the, you know, let me, before you say something, let me, you, we know what, ratings low, high, who cares? When you got people who are like, maybe not big fans of the game, but they're tuning in to watch because of reasons that I gave. Because, like, well, I don't have a rooting interest, but I'll watch. Whoa, that was entertaining last night. See how Phoenix won that game? Who was that guy? Wow. So it's an NBA's, it's NBA's chance to maybe pull in some new fans. Instead of the same old bandwagon LeBron and KD fans that just tune in just to watch those guys and then turn off when they're not playing.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good litmus test, especially if the Clippers don't make it to the finals, of do people really want to watch that, or they just say it and then don't? Because I can't imagine that the networks want to see.
Oh, no, they don't.
They don't want Milwaukee-Atlanta Eastern Conference Finals. They're getting it, but they don't want it.
No, they don't want it.
And there's no chance that they want to see, you know, a Suns Atlanta. Boy, I don't know how. I don't know if that does much good for the ratings, but we'll see. As far as guys that kind of that watch it, you know, first off, because we kind of have to, so be able to have a clue what we're talking about. It excites me.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll be honest with you. If it was a Lakers, Clippers, Nets in the Final Four, the chances that my TV would be on there, a lot slimmer.
Eh.
Seen it.
Yeah.
And really don't care who would win. So that's why I like the little bit of the new blood, for sure. And, somebody's going to win a championship for the first time ever in their franchises, or first time in a long, long time by the time this thing is set and done. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight in Milwaukee. We don't really have time to get into the college football stuff, so let's.
Can I get a final thought in? Just kind of make this full circle from our first topic to now. You know, we talked about the NBA draft and the lottery draft, and people want to scream and go crazy because I think the sky is falling in Oklahoma City. And just look at Atlanta a few years ago. Just look at Phoenix a few years ago.
Yeah, but they got the number one pick and the number three.
Well, I understand that's what they're gonna say. But they've built their way back. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it's not improbable to think that could be Oklahoma City in 4, 5, 6 years.
No, and I don't think it's even that long. Because I think what's being underestimated is how good SGA is. You have that guy that there you is, needed with the top five pick. You've already got him. And compliment him with somebody. And if you can figure out a way to get somebody better, even greater.
Right.
Now you're killing it. Okay, so you don't know who Laurel Hubbard or Chelsea Wolf are?
No, who is this?
Laurel Hubbard qualified as a weightlifter in the Olympics from New Zealand. Qualify as a weightlifter in the Olympics from New Zealand.
Okay.
In the women's division. Women's weightlifting. You know the only problem? Laurel Hubbard's really a dude.
Oh.
It just says he's a chick.
Okay.
Isn't that... And then Chelsea Wolf, this is a little bit closer to home. Chelsea Wolf is a guy who's now an alternate on the women's Olympic BMX team for the USA. You know Chelsea Wolf's claim to fame, what he did in 2020 as he is getting ready to... start the qualifying process for the Olympics?
No.
You know why he wanted to make the girls' team? So he could win an Olympic medal, stand up on the – oh, okay. Yeah, we're doing PGA Championship ticket ordering up
well,
in here.
Well, he has 2 minutes.
Yep, 2 minutes to countdown. Yeah. Anyhow, Chelsea Wolf, the dude that's riding BMX with chicks on the U.S. Olympic team, what he wanted to do was win a medal so he could stand up on the podium. You know what he wanted to do on the podium? Burn the American flag. That's cool. That's what we want, isn't it? You know who was pretty enthused about that when he heard the story? Micah Ruzzioni. He was happy about it. He thought that was great. I mean, I'm serious about this. Is there any chance that Chelsea Wolf should still be able to go to Japan as a member of the U.S. Olympic team, BMX team? The answer is no. The answer is no.
No.
It should not be. First off, should have never been because it's a guy riding bikes against girls. Come on. But since you're going to let that happen, this should eliminate it. You can't make your intentions known that you're going to burn the American flag on the podium at the Olympics if you win a medal and still be on the American team. Just absolutely ridiculous.
That's embarrassing.
And then if you're Laurel Hubbard, a 43-year-old man lifting weights against girls, come on, man. Come on, bud. The dream is over.
Yeah.
Your Olympic gold medal isn't even going to matter because you were a guy lifting weights against girls. Right?
That just makes my head dizzy, man.
I mean, you think Steven Adams is pretty happy about that from his home country of New Zealand?
Oh, boy.
Why not have one of his sisters do the weightlifting?
Yeah.
I'm sure they can.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Like one of them is like literally Olympic discus champion or something.
I think you're right. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. We have, so when I say we, I'm talking about the United States of America, has a team member going to the Olympics that wants to win a medal so they can burn the American flag on national television on the podium. That person should not be able to go represent America. And oh, by the way, it's a guy racing bikes against girls.
How would the Olympic Committee let them do that? Or the IOC?
That's the International Olympic Committee.
Should they say, sir, you can't burn anything on the podium. What are you doing?
Oh, you don't think that the international community wouldn't love to see an American burn in a flag?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It'd be like holiday. It'd be like Chelsea Wolf Day all around the world if that happened. That's why you don't let her go. It's not her. It's a he. That's why you don't let him go. Don't even give him the chance. All right.
Why should we even go if there's that much angst and anger against the own country they want to represent? Why don't the USA just say, no, we're not going?
Well, there's no reason to take away that
opportunity for
the ones that want to.
You can go to Canada, you go to Mexico, and you can go compete for them, but you're not going to compete.
Yeah, not for us. No, absolutely not. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.